go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Hi, I'm Peter Doan.
And I'm Leslie Doan.
And you're listening to the radio broadcast, Go Rebuild My Church. Each week in this broadcast, we explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord Jesus, and how this theme is relevant as we seek to bring renewal to the church today.
Our passion for renewal was ignited when we came home to the Catholic Church 13 years ago, and that's when we heard the call to rebuild and joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church.
You can learn more about our journey home and our lay apostolate dedicated to renewal in the Catholic Church by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org.
Our prayer is through the ministry of this radio program and our lay apostolate, we can provide pathways for you as individuals, your families, as well as your parishes to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal. If you're joining us for the first time, we'll catch you up just a little bit here because we're just finishing a series of broadcasts that show the process of spiritual rebuilding and renewal that needed to take place in those seven churches found in the book of Revelation. And it's been a great series, Peter.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it has.
I've so enjoyed the sacred scriptures. I've been enlightened and encouraged, and especially in these days which we find ourselves now where we desperately need rebuilding and renewal. Isn't that right, Peter?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So through these broadcasts, we've been showing how Jesus has been calling parishes to rebuild and renew all throughout history, even dating back to those first century churches and parishes. It's been so interesting to learn how Jesus ties his message to the history and the culture of the city where the churches are located, and how Jesus gave every church a commendation, a criticism, except for two of the churches, a correction, as well as a crown for the one who overcomes. So those are the four C's.
Yes.
So look for those when you're reading the book of Revelation. And as we've mentioned before, this would be a super good framework for a church staff to use when you evaluate your work at the parish to identify your strengths, but also be able to discover maybe where the church is off track.
Amen to that, Leslie. And in these broadcasts, we also have been pulling together the sacred scripture, excerpts from the catechism, the lives of the saints, and the teaching of the church as we seek to challenge families, individuals, and local parishes to rebuild and renew the Catholic faith here in America. Now, last week, we continued our discussion on the seventh and final church in the book of Revelation, the church at Laodicea. We shared that the historical background of Laodicea and the fact that the Lord brings the strongest rebuke and warnings to this church. We also learned about the spiritual unreality of this church and its leaders thought about their spiritual condition. And we learned that from this verse that Jesus said to them, "For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I have need of nothing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked."
Harsh words indeed.
I know. They thought they were rich and prosperous and in need of nothing.
Yep, but they were self-sufficient, weren't they?
Right. But Jesus, on the other hand, confronts them with five very pointed and descriptive adjectives, Leslie, that identified what he thought of their condition. Again, he said, wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. It's almost like I feel I'm not ashamed of those words, but those words are so convicting. But then I thought of the scripture in Romans 11 where Paul said, "Behold the goodness and the severity of God." So there's a goodness to the Lord as he approaches us, but also there's a severity that Laodicea teaches us about when we fall off the track and don't follow what the Lord is saying.
That's right. In our discussion about Laodicea, we have tied the problems to a historical problem, and that which has plagued God's people throughout its history, both in the Old and New Covenant. So we talked a lot about syncretism. Mm-hmm. And could you review for our listening audience a little bit about what we mean by syncretism for those that need to be caught up?
Right. So the temptation to syncretize goes far back as the Old Testament, right? Indeed, a large portion of the prophetic writings were dedicated to calling God's people back to the worship of the one true God. Because what happened, Leslie, they often fell into idolatrous worship of Baal and the Asherah and made those objects of devotion. There was no doubt clear examples of Israel forsaking their covenant with God and running after these false deities, often doing so while they're simultaneously worshiping the Lord. So the church at Laodicea, we discovered, shows us that syncretism can also take place in the New Testament, and it made them lukewarm. And that can also take place with our church today in the 21st century. And this is what we believe many places are experiencing, especially here in the West. We gave some examples from Pew Research that now there's no difference statistically between what the American culture believes about two major issues, abortion and gay marriage, and what the majority of Catholics, American Catholics, believe about those bellwether issues. And this is a New Testament, modern day example of syncretism.
Well, Peter, we see in Laodicea that the Lord does not leave them without an opportunity to change and come back to Him. And we often say in this program that we are solutions-oriented, and Jesus is solutions-oriented.
Yeah, amen.
When we're called to rebuild and renew the Catholic Church here in America, we can have hope if we follow in the footsteps of Jesus and do what He calls us to do. Mm-hmm. And He outlines a little bit of that for the Laodicean leaders and their congregation. So what were the solutions that He offered?
So here's the solutions that Jesus offers the Church of Laodicea, and this is our focus today. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 18 through 22, let me read this portion of Scripture. "Therefore I counsel you to buy for me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white robes to clothe you, and to keep the shame of your nakedness from being seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. I reprove and discipline those whom I love. Be earnest, therefore, and repent. Listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you, and you with me. To the one who conquers, I will give a place with me on my throne, just as myself has conquered and sat down with my Father on His throne. Let anyone who has an ear to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches."
Well, Peter, what jumps out to me, which I think is the key to that verse, is three little words: buy from me. Mm-hmm. Jesus is saying that He has all that the church really needs to function. And as you and I have discussed, it's really nice to have a beautiful building, a great choir, beautiful music, and these things are not wrong, but they are not what the church needs. What is the Lord saying in this scripture that describes what we really need?
All right, so as you mentioned, the Lord mentions three distinct items that the church needs: gold and white clothing and eye salve. We're going to see in a moment what these symbols stand for, Leslie. However, we first must recognize that He alone, Jesus, possesses these. What the church needs is to be obtained only from Jesus, and our Lord tells us what that is.
Okay, we're going to take a short break now, and when we return, we'll look at how this church, despite Jesus' stern warnings that were harsher than He had given to any of the other churches, how there is hope for the Laodicean Christians if they accept His counsel, and there's hope for us as well. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood, in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Do you sometimes think that nobody prays for you? Does it seem like your concerns and worries aren't shared by anybody else? If so, then put that away. We here at Catholic Radio Indy pray for you, our listeners, every single day. If you have a special prayer request, go to www.catholicradioindy.org and let us know. we lift up our listeners' prayers each morning. It's how we start our workday. Let us pray for you, and may God bless you abundantly.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. Today we're focusing on the last of the seven local churches or parishes found in Chapter 3 of the Book of Revelation, and that's the Church at Laodicea. We learned in our last segment that even though the church was trapped in syncretism, the blending of the true faith with the surrounding ungodly culture, Jesus offered them a prescription for change and for returning to Him. Peter, please help our listening audience unpack Jesus' solutions for this church and for us. He summed it all up by saying that the church was lukewarm. How do we break out of that lukewarmness?
Right. So the Lord gives us three interpretive keys at this church of Laodicea that helps us, Leslie, both understand the Lord's directions to the church as well as allowing this church to speak to us today as well. First of all, number one, Jesus sums up all the problems we've discussed in Laodicea was charged with by saying the church is lukewarm. So just as Jesus used the metaphor of cold water combining with hot that produces lukewarmness, so too, when our Catholic faith mixes with the fallen culture, as we mentioned, syncretism, we too become lukewarm. Secondly, he sums up his approach to the church by saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." If we deal with our lukewarm approach to Jesus Christ, then the door will open to his knocking. And then thirdly, Jesus calls us to buy from him, as we mentioned, gold refined by fire, which is proven faith. He also says, "White robes will be given to us," which is cleansing from sin. And then thirdly, eye salve, which is to be healed from our spiritual blindness. Very important dimensions to our spiritual life.
Okay, so first of all then, how do we deal with the issue of lukewarmness or syncretism? Are there some practical steps that we can have our listeners take home with them?
I think there is, Leslie, and we want to suggest the seven steps to move from a lukewarm approach to the Lord and become on fire, to be filled with ardor, as St. John Paul II talked about, and be consistent in our walk of faith and relationship with Jesus Christ. So number one, the first step, Leslie, is repent. Jesus told five of these churches that they need to repent, and we shouldn't be scared of that word. That word in the Greek is metanoia. We've talked about that before in these broadcasts. It means to change our minds and to change our actions. For a Catholic, this also will lead to going and making a good confession through the sacrament of penance. This will allow us to, again, be in fellowship and communion with our Lord.
I think it's important to focus on what it means to make a good confession, Peter, because that actually starts with an examination of your conscience,
right?
Really being sincerely sorry for your sins, and then after you confess them to the priest, you go away from the confessional resolving to change and turn away from that sin, and then, of course, fulfilling the penance that you've been given.
Right. So step number two after repentance is we need to begin to develop a daily devotion life to the Lord. The beauty of the Catholic faith, as we returned 13 years ago and have rediscovered, that it provides a wonderful breadth of spirituality that allows us to touch the Lord devotionally. And first and foremost, I believe that we're taught, especially in the Second Vatican Council through the document called De Verbum, that we need to root our devotions in the sacred scriptures.
I think there's a real battle here because everyone is so busy these days, and we tend to get overwhelmed with our day and what's going to be coming. All of us have a little bit of Martha in us, and we're so worried about all the things that we have to do instead of really taking time to sit at the Lord's feet, read the sacred scripture, and listen to his word.
Amen. So a third step in coming out of lukewarmness is to begin to pray with our spouses, if we're married, in our family, And then if you're single, I know a lot of single people, they consider and they have a prayer partner, Leslie. And this is one of the main points of instruction that I gave when I was on staff at a local parish when I did marriage prep. I really encouraged those couples that the first step to a healthy marriage is learning how to pray together.
Well, I always think of this as building your house upon the rock, who is Christ, and it's something I pray for our adult children as well that are married. And unless the Lord builds our house, we labor in vain. And we need to daily invite Jesus into our families through prayer and involve him. And I firmly believe that our homes will be better equipped to withstand the forces of our culture and the attacks of Satan.
Amen.
If we do that.
Yes. So a fourth step in moving out of lukewarmness and into the fire of the Holy Spirit, we encourage people to join a small group or a small faith community. You know, there's 59 places in the New Testament, Leslie, where the phrase one another is used, where it says love one another, encourage one another,
serve one another,
and forgive one another. Those one another verses are really best experienced if we have a defined group of people that we're walking with where we can be encouraged and exhorted and lifted up.
Well, many of our churches have become so large that it's really hard to get to know our fellow parishioners, and that's kind of been our experience as well. Mm-hmm. And a small faith community is where we can really share our faith journey with others and be challenged to grow spiritually.
Yes. So our fifth step in terms of coming out of lukewarmness is to begin to attend Mass every Sunday and every holy day of obligation. Here's where we experience the source and summit of our faith, right?
Yeah, and I would like to recommend to our listeners, if you've become lukewarm toward Mass, I encourage you to watch Bishop Barron's series on the Mass. It's absolutely beautifully done. Mm-hmm. And he explores how the Mass is meant to be an intimate encounter with the Lord. And I think it will really help you more fully participate in the liturgy if you listen to this series.
Yes. So step six in terms of coming out of this lukewarmness and coming in to the fire of the Holy Spirit is, I believe, we need to identify and serve in one of the corporal works of mercy. So what are those corporal works of mercy? Just for review, feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, visit the sick, visit the prisoners, and bury the dead. I think if we come before the Lord and pray, Lord, where do you want to send me to really live some of this that you speak of in Matthew 25, I think the Lord will open that door for us.
And Jesus has really emphasized this in the book of Revelation in these addresses to the churches, because with each message, he introduces it by saying, I know your works. And that's why it's so important for us to really incorporate the works of mercy into our lives. And of course, Jesus himself told the story of the Good Samaritan to warn us, because we all have the capacity to be too busy and to pass by those that need our help.
Right.
So serving the needy, as you and I have learned, will always be inconvenient.
Amen.
It won't be a good time to stop.
Right. And then the seventh and final step, Leslie, is to learn and to share our faith when the Lord opens up doors. 1 Peter 3 tells us to be prepared to give an account for the hope that lies within us. And that really restores the fire as well.
Okay, listeners, it's time for another short break. And when we return, we'll have some final thoughts as we complete our study of the seven churches in the book of Revelation. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
You're listening to the radio program Go Rebuild My Church. Today we're completing our series in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, where Jesus addresses seven different churches. And we're making application to the renewal and rebuilding of the church today. In our last segment, we discussed how the Church of Laodicea mirrors much of what goes on in both the Western Church and the Church here in America. And we discussed 7 steps to overcome lukewarmness in the life of an individual, your family, and parish. Now we want to give some final thoughts on this series that we're completing today.
Leslie, I think as Catholic Christians, I do not think we need to read Jesus' messages to the 7 churches just without having an open heart and also to not experience some conviction of sin, because conviction is definitely there. While each church has a particular call from the Lord to a unique response, the Church of Laodicea really is very helpful as a summary for what the Lord looks in all the churches and to all of us. First of all, in this Church of Laodicea, the Lord opens up his heart and describes his motive. He says he reproves those he loves. That's important to know, isn't it?
Right. All of his discipline is out of love.
Right. Also, we find an interpretive key in these 3 chapters that helps us to reach a definitive conclusion on how the local church and parish should approach what Jesus expresses to these 7 churches in Asia Minor. And yes, here's the key. It's verse 20 that says, "Listen, I'm standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I'll come to you and eat with you and you with me."
Peter, this seems like a scripture that indeed sums up the Lord's attitudes towards these 7 church parishes. What is the Lord saying to the churches in these scriptures? What's he saying to us through these scriptures, individually, our families, and even our parishes? Let's take that apart a little bit. Talk to us about that.
Okay, so I think if we look at this verse and break it down, we're going to discover the heart of Jesus towards his church. Incidentally, there's a term for doing that. It's called inductive scripture study.
So here's a little tidbit for our listeners,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's one of the best ways really to study the scriptures is through this inductive method. And this method is like this. You look at a scripture, you take a scripture, and you make observations on the passage, and then you draw conclusions based on these observations. So here are the 3 steps. It's observation, it's interpretation, and its application. So observation, if we start, this verse starts with the word listen. Such an important idea for the Lord to give to us. Please note that his call here is not to unbelievers, Leslie. A lot of times this verse is given as an evangelistic tool to reach out, but it's not to unbelievers, it's to the Catholics, it's to the Christians in this church. He's knocking at the hearts of all those who are in the church. Throughout these addresses to the churches, the Lord is continually calling his people to listen to his voice. The best way to do that is to become deep in scripture.
Right, we've talked about that a lot.
Right. And he says, "I'm standing at the door knocking." In the original Greek, it's interesting that this is in what's called the present tense, indicating that it's not just a one-time activity of Jesus knocks once. He's knocking continually in our personal, family, and parish lives.
So this is another observation.
Yes.
Okay.
Thirdly, if you hear my voice, open the door, he says. We have the responsibility here, again, not only to listen, but to respond to what we hear by opening the doors of our hearts to the Lord himself. We must open the door. He does not force himself inside that door.
And this would be an application of the scripture,
right,
to our own lives.
Yep.
Okay.
And finally, he says, "I will come into you and eat with you and you with me." Those are powerful ideas there for us Catholics. We cannot help but see here both restored fellowship with Jesus expressing most perfectly by us receiving him in the Eucharist.
Our interpretation.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you shared with me that there was an exact scenario at the end of Luke, which kind of exemplifies this.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Where there were two travelers on the road to Emmaus, mm-hmm. and Jesus comes to them.
Yeah.
He knocks on their hearts through explaining to them the scriptures. And as they reach their destination, they open the door. They invited him in, and there he ate with them. He supped with them. He blessed the bread. He broke it and gave it to them, and then their eyes were open. This is exactly an example of what Jesus was calling the churches of Revelation to do.
So, Leslie, there's an interesting note here. In its heyday in the early 20th century, the painting, The Light of the World, was probably more famous than any of the works of the great masters in the Renaissance. Millions of people around the world flocked to see what was known as the Sermon in a Frame.
And what was that painting again, yeah, Peter?
Well, it was called The Light of the World. The painting captured the imagination of so many that it was created by an English artist named William Hunt, who at 29, when he completed it. And the painting illustrates the biblical passage we're talking about. Jesus is carrying a lantern. He's depicted knocking at a door with no handle on the inside or on the outside.
On the outside.
Yeah, right. The door is overgrown with weeds, and the nails and hinges are rusted, implying that the door has never been opened. So the message, it's up to the person on the other side, right, to open the door to let Jesus in. This sums up what Jesus is saying to these seven churches.
We also learned that this painting went on tour between 1905 and 1907, and it actually estimated that 4/5 of the population of the countries of Canada, South Africa, and beyond, and Australia actually saw this.
Yeah, millions of people. That's pretty amazing.
Right. And it hangs in St. Paul's Cathedral in London today. Mm-hmm. And according to St. Paul's, the painting is the most traveled artwork in history.
Leslie, I think it's a great time now for us to pray that God would help you and I, our listeners, and yes, us as Catholic brothers and sisters, to open up the door to Jesus Christ, that he would come in and sup with us and he with him. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we ask, O Lord, that you would give us the grace to open up our hearts to you, your Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please allow us to have those ears to listen, to change and repent where we need to. And Lord, we thank you for the promise that you will come in and give us true communion, both spiritually and the Eucharist and the graces with that itself. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, listeners, for joining us today as we seek to connect you as individuals, your families, and your parishes to the rebuilding and renewal of the Catholic faith here in America. If you'd like to hear our past programs, we welcome you to go to CatholicRadioIndy.org, where you can access all previous broadcasts through the podcast tab on the webpage. And make sure to become a regular listener of Catholic Radio Indy. Goodbye for now, and
keep the faith.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.catholicradioindy.org.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.